To my great pleasure, Rebecca, that was a little bit of a heads up, to welcome again Rebecca. Rebecca was speaking last night at Encounter God. We had a fantastic night there, a great equipping training night. No idea what Rebecca's going to bring this morning, but put your hands together, stand up, whatever you want to do, and give Rebecca a warm billericay welcome.
Sue, are you a teacher?
No.
No? Oh, you look really familiar. Oh. Okay, I'll just hold that. I think you are a teacher. Yeah. Oh. So, Lord, I thank you that you're here and that you have good things for us today. Yeah, it was interesting night last night, and tonight I'm going to talk a little bit differently, or this morning I'm going to talk a little bit differently. And I want to start off by saying that being a prophet doesn't make you special. And if being a prophet is more important to you than anything else, and being known as a prophet, then you're in trouble. And it doesn't make you special, it just means you have a different gift than the person sitting next to you. And so whatever God has for each person in life, we need to remember that we're really part of a family. And we all work together. We each have our own function in the body of Christ. And I actually have no problem saying that I'm a prophet. And some people don't like that. You hear that discussed all over the place. Well, they shouldn't say what they are and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Teachers have no problem saying they're teachers. And pastors have no problem saying they're pastors. I have absolutely no problem saying I'm a prophet. That's just what I do. It's my job in the body of Christ kind of thing. And I like it. And I'm very comfortable with that. So if it upsets you, just sort of forgive me now. And then you can listen to what I have to say. I think I want to start off with just a few definitions for you. And I actually want to talk about favor. But I want to give you some definitions because I believe that God is going to shift this house and give it an apostolic prophetic foundation. And I think he's going to build really quickly on that because I saw that picture of a beehive. And I think there's coming a lot of change and it's quickly going to become a busy place like a hub. But I want you to understand basically the difference between someone who prophesies, which is all of us have that ability, and a prophet, because they're the same but very different. But people often mistake people who prophesy a lot and prophesy well as prophets. And I want you to know the difference, because if you know the difference, it will take pressure off of you, for one thing. If you know, just to be a person who prophesies, and you don't have to act like the prophet who comes to town or the prophet of the house. It's a different kind of function and a different role. So first of all, if you have the gift of prophecy, the one that the Bible says to desire, that goes with a heart of love, your job is to edify people and comfort people and exhort them. So your job is to look for the gold, not at the dirt and anything like that, and just everything you speak out to them, whether it's one word or a lot of words, it must stay within those boundaries. You aren't called by God to point out their sins. You're not called by God to go, oh, I see heaviness upon your life. You know, but this is what God wants to do for you. What you're called to do is bring a redemptive word, even if you do see heaviness on their life, and you're there to say, wow, you should see what's coming your way. Okay, that would bring comfort, that would bring encouragement, and it would build the next person up. If you are a prophet, and I'm talking about a recognized prophet by the leadership that you are walking with, then you have something added to that. And that means you have the ability to correct and to bring discipline, to sort of judge scenarios, judge other prophetic words, and to give direction. But you have to know that you're free to do that within your local structure, or, you know, if it's a bigger structure, as God grows your metron, you're going to have to know that the favor of God and man is upon you to do that. So, and when I say judge, I'm talking about like discerning, really. That's the better word is to discern. When you read in the scriptures about let two or three prophesy and let the others judge, it's talking about prophets. So one of the roles of a prophet is to judge the prophetic words, to sit and discuss, usually two or three together, and you decide if that's what God is saying. It's always, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. And that means you sit together and you discuss and you think, you find the vein of truth. That's the job of a prophet. It's not the job of people who have the gift of prophecy. Even though they're highly skilled at prophecy and have the ear of the leadership, that isn't their job. When you have the gift of prophecy, you become just an indispensable part of the body of Christ. You're really needed. You encourage the family. But if you're a prophet, you're an integral part of the structure. It's a different role. So in Ephesians 4, it talks about how God has set in the church these kind of people, you know, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Those five different kind of strong governmental giftings. So if you're a prophet, that's what you're a structural person, and you're actually to do with foundations together with the apostle. And if you have the gift of prophecy, you're one that just holds the family together by your encouraging words. Let's see. I've talked about foundations. When you have the gift of prophecy, you build up by the words you give. But when you are a prophet, your job is to equip. It changes there. So it's a different kind of ministry. The words may sound the same, but the anointing in you is to bring structure. And so what you communicate and what you give, what I'm releasing into the atmosphere to you today, is structure and an understanding of what the different roles are in the church. A person who has the gift of prophecy, they speak when they hear Holy Spirit speaking, and they say, oh, I'm feeling the Spirit saying this, blah, 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 you know, and it's always encouraging. But what a prophet does, he'll hear and he'll recognize, or she, and she will release, or he will release and call out spiritual gifts in people's lives. They'll have the discernment to say, oh, I see this on you. I had a friend recently, and everyone was saying they're an evangelist. And they have evangelistic gifts, and I'm thinking, no, they're not. They're an apostle. Their core is apostolic. And I thought, whoa, but it's actually sort of emerging now. That person has come to realize they are, you know, they're carrying the calling of an apostle, but they have this incredible gift of signs and wonders and working miracles and healing and other things which are used as an evangelist to pull people in. So there's differences. When you're using the gift of prophecy, it's like you're an ambassador to people in your church. You're representing God. And when you're a prophet, that job shifts, and you actually, God will sometimes put you in the position where you commission people into their calling. Like God will give you something to anoint, in the sense, you know, I see that on you, and now it's your season, and God will on occasion call you to be a part of that process that releases people into their ministry. So it's really, really difficult sometimes to tell the difference, but there is a difference, and those are some little keys that will help you. How do you know if you're a prophet, or you were a budding prophet, or, you know, where you fit in that picture of thing? That's also a big, big subject. But some of the signs that maybe you would recognize in yourself that would maybe point you towards that maybe there's more than just prophesying, are that during your life you've had unexplainable supernatural events. So you'll have experienced trances, or you see angels, or God has taken you into the heavens. That doesn't mean you are a prophet, but it means there may be that potential in your life, maybe. And then people will begin to notice you, and they'll tell you you're different, or what's on your life? You know, there's something changes when you come into the room, and something shifts. That's also a sign that maybe something different is going on. You may see the Lord. You know, he may appear to you often, and, you know, just chat with you, and you'll have just encounters with the Lord, which other people sort of long for, but for you it might be normal. And it may be normal for you to see angels and, you know, things that are going on in the spiritual realm. People will begin to say things as you just talk normally within a conversation. People will say, well, how do you know that? Or what was that all about? You know, they'll recognize that just in your daily living of life that you act in a prophetic manner, and you're actually, your life becomes a prophecy. The difficulties you go through, very often I'll go through difficulties and also good times, and it's not that long before the church around me or where God has put me comes into a season like that, and my life has become a prophetic word to that congregation. It's really important when that leaders begin to recognize you, and that's one of the processes that you need to go through if you're a prophet. You can't make room for yourself. It's really important that you learn that your gift will make room for you, and it'll make room for you at the right time, in the right place, and that's how it works in the kingdom. And that makes it very, very difficult in a prophet's life because they have long trainings. And you get called from God and you think, that's it, I'm a prophet, you know. But it's like takes years of training and tempering. And that the most difficult time in a prophet's life is in between the time they are called and the time they're commissioned and ordained to go out and step out in what they have, because they spend these years in frustration, and you cry lots of tears when no one knows you're crying, and you wrestle things through, and you have to lay yourself down again and again and again, and God has to get rid of your ick, your ego, you know, and all these things. He has to deal with those things, and he has to bring you continually to different levels of consecration until he is able to trust you with his word, and whether that's spoken or not, he has to be able to trust you to carry what he calls you to carry. And that's a long process. So please know that there is a secret or a hidden price to this kind of ministry. It isn't glamorous and it's not fun all the time, but sometimes it is. You have those moments where you go, for this I was made. You know, this is what I was born for, and you know you're operating in that. But there's a lot of other stuff that costs you a lot. It costs a lot. So, any questions quickly about that? You all understand basically the difference between the two? Okay. What I want to talk to you about, tied in with what I've just explained to you quickly, is about favor. And I love to talk about this because without favor, you and I can do nothing, basically. And we need favor from God, and we need favor from man. And prophetic people need favor. You have to have favor. And unless I know that I have favor in the leadership, I won't operate as I can do prophetically. As a prophet, I just will not do it because I think it's quite dangerous and it can bring division and it can bring misunderstanding that actually I don't need to deal with. And so you really need to cultivate relationships with your leadership if that's who you think you are. Well, you should be doing that anyway, but it's really, really important. And prophets don't do it well. Like, we're notorious for, you know, we're blamed very often for a lot of things. But statistics show, every once in a while I like statistics, that pastors actually cause more trouble in churches than prophets. You can get all that from George Barna. Like, and I find that really interesting. And occasionally I've brought that up, which hasn't gone very well. Because we live in a society that, for the most part, the pastor is still the chief guy. But God's shifting that and changing it and putting things into his order. But we are notorious for not knowing how to walk in favor and how to value favor. And I think God wants to build that into this place right at the very beginning, an understanding of what favor is and why you need it and why it's precious. So it has many, many faces, favor does. And I just want to give you a few definitions that I like about it. And one of them is called demonstrated delight. Favor is demonstrated delight to you and I. And we know how much God delights in us as his children. It just blesses his heart. We bless his heart. And when we know and understand that favor is his demonstrated delight to us, it just brings freedom into our lives. and we're able to yield to him more, the one who extends favor, when it's like, I'm just delighting in you, and suddenly it brings freedom to you. And that's one of the ways, one of the ways favor acts and looks like. And I know that favor comes on the wicked, the righteous, and the unrighteous. So it's not just a God thing. And we need to get that out of our mentality that if you do this and this and this and this, that the favor of God is going to be on you. Because actually the Bible says that God blesses the righteous and the unrighteous. So, you know, a person could be acting in what we would consider not Christian ways. But God, for whatever reason, because he has the big picture, he has favor on their lives. And we need to look for that and honor that and bless that. Because favor is very, very, very special and precious. The other thing that favor is special regard. Special regard. So that very often comes to us from other people. It does come to us from God too, but very often, favor that involves special regard comes from other people who are also walking in favor. So when God begins to move you into a new place and you're just waiting for the moment that God's going to set you free and give you a place within that metron, you have to wait until the leadership gives you special regard. And you'll begin to see that and you'll begin to feel that. And it won't always come all at once. It'll come in like minute portions. I remember I was going to a new church and the leader of that church came over to me and said, okay, you're getting an upgrade. And I was like, oh. And it was like the Lord suddenly pulled the rug from under my feet, and I again had to find my balance in this new field. But what was happening there was special regard. You know, like my gifting had been noticed, and favor was beginning to be extended to me. So what did I do with that? Well, nothing. And then I was talking to another friend, and I was saying to them, man, I just don't understand why that door doesn't open, and that door doesn't open, and that door doesn't open. And they said to me, well, quite frankly, Rebecca, you have been extended favor in this area, and what have you done with it? Nothing. You know, and so really I had to confront my fear of actually stepping in to the metron that had been open to me and using my gift, and then God would give me more. But that journey of special regard is very, very important. It's not so that you look special. It's so that God can accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Favor is always about the bigger picture of what God wants to accomplish. It's not favor because you're a prophet or favor because you're an apostle. It's favor because God is about to do something. And he moves people into place when he's about to do something and he wants to do a specific thing. That's a leadership thing as well. When a church is or an organization is going to go this direction, and they've been going this direction for a long time, very often you'll see a leadership change. And the reason is there's different kinds of leadership that are needed at different points in the life of a ministry. And God will move the kind of leadership into place that's needed for that time. So sometimes when a church is just a brand new baby, he'll put a leader in whose strongest gifts are networking. The favor of God is on them to network because they need to learn how to make connections. But then you come into another phase of the ministry and God will move another kind of leader in. That's like special regard, points out and highlights the leaders that God has chosen for the next wave or the next part of the journey. So special regard is very, very important. That kind of favor, special regard, is a little bit dangerous, or the downside of it is dangerous, because it brings you admiration from people. And you can't ever believe your own press. You can't allow admiration. Oh, you know, so-and-so, she can do this, or this person can do that, and oh, they're amazing, and blah, blah, blah. You dare not touch that. The favor isn't because you're wonderful. Remember I said at the beginning, it doesn't make you special. It just makes you part of the picture for right now. So special regard needs to be handled with kid gloves, because favor, this kind of favor, comes very often from man, and in a moment it can be gone. Just like that, overnight, overnight, man can remove favor from you. So you handle it as a gift. You handle it as giving you an opportunity, and it doesn't make you special. You know, like, it's nice to be admired. I've had seasons where I've been totally not welcome in places. So when you are welcome, it's lovely. So you have to appreciate it and love it, but don't get carried away with it, because, you know, it's favor from man. Favor from God is a different thing. You know, that's what you want more than anything else. So the special regard also is something you grow into. Like, as your character grows and matches the level of gifting that you have, man will extend favor to you. So it's always a process. There's nothing instant. Which leads me to this kind of idea about favor on demand. And a lot of the younger generation especially, you know, who are living instant lives, think that favor on demand is theirs, and or their right. And it absolutely is not. It absolutely is not. We can't, nobody owes us anything. And prophets need to learn that nobody owes us anything. We tend to think, okay, I've been doing this for 20 years, or I've been doing this for 30 years. They should make a place for me. Or I have this gift, and I can see this. And don't they know what you're actually, by your grumbling or by our grumbling, what we're actually doing is saying, I should have favor right now. I should have this. And that's like favor on demand. And actually, we don't get to do that. We do not get to demand favor. We like to announce, you know, what we've seen and what we've heard and what we've done. But it's not good. God wants us to grow in favor with man and to grow in favor with him, just like Jesus did. But it's not an on-demand thing. So that whole thing of constantly growing is very, very important in accessing favor. Like, it's a constant growth period. We've never, never made it. Sometimes we're growing more quickly, or God's accelerating things. And when that happens, you'll walk in extreme favor. But sometimes he takes a favor off of you because you have a lot to learn. And you've been using your favor in ways that actually we shouldn't be using it. It's not to be demanded. It's a precious, precious gift to have favor. And it's like gold, actually. It's absolutely like gold. And we've done it wrong so many times. And I just feel the Holy Spirit when I talk about this, because in some areas I think the Lord has helped me to learn finally to do it right, or to be willing to take risks to do it right. And there's a high price to do that. But if you understand the bigger picture, then you'll be willing to pay it. So let's talk just for a little bit about gaining favor. What can we do to attract favor? Because we know already now, obviously, that we need it. I think the most important thing to realize is that everything in the kingdom, I'm not talking about the church, I'm talking about the kingdom, which is our focus now. Everything in the kingdom is about relationship with other people and relationship with God. So God, and favor works through that. So God is lovingly willing to partner with us in that kind of thing. He's not a big God who's angry and harsh and standing over us with a stick and saying, come on, and he's poking us and prodding us and saying things like, you can do better than that, which often I had when I was in school. He just wants us to relate to him. He's not about punishing us when we fail or struggle. He actually wants us to be overcome with his favor. He wants to extend his goodness to us. So, first of all, there's intimacy as a way to attract the favor of God. So real fruit, which is what we're all after as prophets or prophetic people, real fruit always comes out of intimacy with God more than anything else. That's your bottom line. And there's many ways to develop that relationship with God. But unless you're willing to do two important things, you'll just remain stagnant and you won't grow. So first of all, you need to spend time with God. And how you do that is is your own business before God. But most of us who were raised in the evangelical church were taught that the way you did it was to have to, in first thing in the morning and last thing at night, you had your devotions. I had little scripture union booklets sometimes that I did, and that was the traditional way. I really don't care what way you do it, but as long as you do it, develop a way of having an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For me, it has to be much more than that and look different, but that's a really good starting point. But secondly, and this I wasn't really taught, or if I was, I didn't understand it, is to realize that God actually wants to spend time with you. He actually wants to hang out with you. And it's different than when you set yourself aside to listen to him and do. He wants to walk with you all the time, and he wants to talk to you constantly. And he wants to just enjoy you. And you know this thing that was taught to us when we were growing up, that God can stand to look at us because of Jesus' blood. That, you know, he sees us through Jesus. And that's how come he can tolerate us, because we're such filthy, rotten sinners. But by the grace of God, you know, that's not it. Actually, when he looks at me, he's like, oh, Rebecca, you're awesome. You know, like that's, he actually likes me. And he doesn't see me through the blood of Jesus. He sees me as Rebecca. He created me for his pleasure, in his likeness, to carry his glory, and he thinks I'm fun. He especially thinks I'm fun and his favorite. And I'm my dad's favorite too, by the way, which he will try and argue, but I know, I know. I am. No, I am the favorite. But that's how God... He wants to hang out with us. And that's actually, to me, much more intimate than the other thing. You know, like it's double. And so the first way, doing our devotions, most of us find easier. But the second one, to actually open up and allow God to hang with us, that's quite difficult for many, many people, because it's like we still think in the old way. We have that old churchy religious thinking that actually doesn't produce life. It produces striving and just all sorts of sad things. So intimacy. Another thing that blocks intimacy is when we're filled with shame. And we need to, some of that's been put on us by the church and by religion. You know, you should do this, you should do that, you should do that. And of course, very few of us could do any of the shoulds. I definitely couldn't. And so God has to come and show you that actually he doesn't attach shame to us. And he's ripped that off of our lives. And once we get a handle on that, intimacy becomes a lot easier, because we can look him eye to eye, in the eye. And he doesn't want us to be unhappy with ourselves. He wants us to go on a journey with him and discover who he has really made us to be. And you know what? If as you do that, favor will come on your life, because you'll begin to shine. You know, it says those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never put to shame. It says that in the Psalms. And as you grow in your intimacy with the Lord, that's what you discover. You know, and all those little dirty secrets that are hidden away from your youth and all that kind of thing, you're suddenly not so embarrassed to bring them out into the light. You know, you get free. That will bring favor in your life, because people are watching. And they'll start by saying little things. Whoa, what's going on in that person? There's something going on. He just loves that. He can't resist us, actually, when we come to him like that. And so the second point about gaining favor is like to seek it. So I'm very ambitious. I'm ambitious for the kingdom. And I have no problem to say at all that I'm seeking favor. And I want favor from the leadership so that I can accomplish what I was created to do. Because I know very well I can't do it unless I have favor. So I am ambitious, and I am seeking the favor of God first and the favor of man. The easy way for me to explain this is that a little child always desires gifts. When daddy goes away, and when my dad would go away, I can remember coming running and wondering what he had brought to me from wherever. You know, and he would bring me little things from different places. I remember one time he'd been to Israel and he brought me this little pipe back. Do you remember that? Like some, yeah. And there's no shame in seeking. The child seeks the gift, because the gift is an evidence of favor, an evidence that you're thought of, an evidence that you're loved. So, you know, in my simple mind, I think that's how you do it with God. So seek his favor. Ask him to shower you with his gifts. When I go home to Canada, I have to take an extra suitcase because I have all the gifts my grandchildren could ever want. You know, they have all the comic books that, or those little books that they can't get in Canada. And they have sweeties, far too many sweets from humbugs of Folkestone. You know, like, I just bring them gifts. And it's a natural thing for them to come. You know, I come walking through the gate at the airport, and it takes them about 5 minutes. What do you have for us, Nana? And I'm like totally thrilled, and it's like, oh, wait until you see. And then as soon as I get home, I throw open the big suitcase that has all the stuff, and then they have their pile, and they sort it through, and they're totally thrilled. You and I need to be like that with God. Seek his favor. Seek what he's got for us. And because it's going to add to your life and bring you into places with him that you can't even imagine. It's not all just all this knowledge that you get about God that's going to bring favor on your life. It's expecting stuff from him and then actually receiving it. And it brings simple pleasure and simple joy and favor. You're receiving his favor, what he has done for you and extended to you. I think it's really fatalistic when God favors us with prophetic words, and they're like gifts, and we don't walk into it. I think it grieves his heart. And, you know, we want to just be really, really open, and prophetic words are actually a sign of his favor. The psalmist also entreated favor, asked for God's favor. So it's not just a childlike thing. And there's this one verse in Psalm 119 that says this: "The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all of my heart. All of my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise." And then in verse 135, which is the same psalm, it says this: "Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes." So when you see the words in the Bible that say, "Make your face shine upon me," what you're asking for is the favor of God. That's what that means. So make your face shine upon me, O Lord. Make your favor come upon my life and teach me your ways. When favor's on you, you'll grow in understanding. It'll be easy to learn. But when you're not walking in favor, either with God or with man, life can become very, very difficult, and life can be incredibly discouraging. So it's something to seek after. If you have favor, just like the prophets of old, you can bring about change. And prophets are called to shift things and bring change. So what I'm doing is speaking stuff out because you guys are in a big change cycle right now. You're on a huge cycle of change. In fact, this morning when we were worshiping the Lord, I really felt that God's actually going to change the face of this church, and he's going to bring the nations to your church, and it's going to add things, dimensions in worship and dimensions in passion that actually as English people we don't get. We do not get it. And I felt like the Lord was saying to you, get ready, because the people that he's going to bring into this place are going to fire you up, because you're going to need to be a very fiery, hot, loud, dynamic congregation for a little while, because God wants to attract people, and he needs to get your name out on the street, and you need to be known for something. And he's going to change the face so that you're known for passion. And I'm not saying, I am saying, English people are not very good at passion, except behind closed doors. But other nationalities are really good at it, and they're really good at joy, and they set us free to enter into what they carry. So God is going to change the face of this shape, or the face of this church, and it's actually going to bring you favor, because it's going to be the face of God shining on you. And you need that. We need that. Another way to gain favor is to give your life to Jesus. Now, probably everyone in this room has given their life to Jesus, they think. And I gave my life to Jesus when I was a little girl. I think I was 2 years old. But I hadn't really given my life to Jesus. I had just sort of given my heart to please come into my heart, and, you know, that kind of thing. I'm talking about something different. And I want to use John Wimber as an example. Does everybody know who John Wimber was? Okay, he's the founder of the Vineyard Movement. He came from California, and he brought healing, a restoration of healing into the body of Christ, and taught us all back in the probably 70s and 80s about healing, maybe the 80s. But it was said of John Wimber that he was a really, really good Christian man. You know, he did good works, he was well known, and he went to church, he raised his family right, all that kind of thing. But then one day, John Wimber gave his life to Jesus. And everything changed. Everything changed. And what that meant was that he suddenly consecrated himself to the Lord. And he became, his inheritance became the kingdom. So righteousness, peace, and joy. And I believe that you can be, and I can be a Christian without inheriting the kingdom and stepping into the things that we want to live in. Because we're called to fullness, and we're not just called to get fire insurance. We're called to be a consecrated people. Consecrate yourself to the Lord, and that will change everything. And that's what happened to John Wimber. So when you actually give your life to Jesus in that way, everything changes. Everything changes. God begins to be God, and he takes care of everything for us. He becomes our provision. We don't get to choose how that provision comes, but he becomes our provision. We don't get to choose how it looks like, and we don't get to organize it. We don't get to organize everything. What we're actually doing is saying to the Lord, you know, you are now in charge. That's what it means to give your life to Jesus in that deeper level. And it means that you actually step out of the fear that you're walking in. If you're trying to run your own life and organize your own life, that means actually that you're very fearful and you don't trust God to organize and take care of everything for you. So when you give your life to Jesus, you're stepping out of fear and into the inheritable peace. That is kingdom. That is kingdom. That's one way to attract the favor of God. He loves that when we get over ourselves and we give our lives to him. And he's able to take our little lives that we consider, oh, I'm just a small girl, or I'm a girl from, you know, Winnipeg, or I'm, you know, just a little guy from here, and what could I do? You know what? You can do a lot. But unless you have the favor of God because you've given your life to Jesus, you'll miss out on what he has for you. So now let's look for a few minutes at the benefits of favor. Although I've been talking about them all along. One of them that I love is protection. And you saw that a little bit in that slide with DJ, Erica's husband, behind Rebecca when she was playing volleyball. He was there for her. And the Bible says this, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord, you cover him with favor as a shield." That's Psalm 5, verse 12. I'm going to read it again. "For you bless the righteous, O Lord, and you cover him with favor as with a shield." So favor of God, the favor of God is given to us as part of our armor. And favor given by man is part of our armor. So you know that's happening when someone says to me, "Okay, Rebecca, I've got your back." You know they're extending favor to you and they're watching out for you. And you need to have that because it's protection. So when I go into a new setting, I now have started to have a conversation with people and say, with leadership actually, and say, "Okay, I'm willing to act prophetically for you, but how are you going to protect me? What are you going to do for me if I screw up? What are you going to do for me if I'm put in a position where it's real churchy and it's all coupley and I'm a woman, a single woman? How are you going to protect me when things rise up against me?" Because they do. You know, what are you going to do for me? If I'm going to do this for you, I need to know that there's favor that's going to be a shield for me. And how are you going to help me when I'm struggling with stuff so that I can get past my issue and continue standing in the favor of God as a shield of protection? I need to know that, and you need to know that. If you want to move in the prophetic, that's another reason you have to have the good relationship with your leadership, because it will bring you protection. And you need to know who has your back. Another thing that favor will bring to you is a seat at the table. And if you're a prophet, you want a seat at the table. Well, I do. I want to be an influencer. That's why I'm doing what I do. I want to be one who can shift churches and shift nations and change and call them from where they are now and pull them into something that's far greater for them and help them to move into their destiny. And I can not do that unless I have a seat at the table. And by that I mean I can sit with the leadership and give my input into what's going on. Because I've learned that from far away, and if I'm not in good relationship with the leaders, that is not going to happen. And unless I am willing to lay my agenda down and my gifting down to serve the vision of the whole church, then I am not going to have favor and I'm not going to sit at the table and be able to talk with them and influence. And if you can influence at the leadership level, it's incredible how God can use your life. Where we make mistakes as prophets is that we try and influence everyone else but the leaders that God has put us with. It's a very, very difficult and fine line to walk, because prophetic people are notoriously non-compromising. We're all full of, this is my principles. And it's just a matter of principle, and I'm standing with it, and I'm not willing to shift in order to have favor and in order to accomplish what God wants to accomplish with the bigger picture. We have to lay that down. My gifting as a prophet is to serve your vision, the leadership of the church, completely. And it's not to use my gift in order to draw people to myself, because that brings division. That brings division. If you are a person who's using the gift of prophecy, that won't bring division. You'll just be, encouraging everyone. But if you are a prophet and you are using your gift and it draws people to you instead of to the picture of the whole and instead of to what God is doing, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So that's something that we need to guard as prophets. And we need to realize that we are not more important than what we carry is not more important than what other people see. Especially when you come to the level of Ephesians 4. And if you're in an E4 position, you have to work in community with the leaders. And we've not done that well. We've not done that well. And God wants to change that. And he's doing a redemptive work in prophets. And he's sorting us out. He's separating us from prophetic intercessors who are not prophets. They're prophetic intercessors. And we've allowed them to speak and we've accepted their voice as the voice of a prophet. And what has happened is it's brought confusion and misunderstanding into the body of Christ, because the revelation that they are given is for prayer and intercession. And so we've accepted what sounds like a judgmental voice very often, because an intercessor will say, see, because God shows them, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And they speak it out, but it's the wrong revelation. So God's shifting us and shifting the prophetic and calling us to sharpen our words, not necessarily to prophesy out of our process, which we have also done, which has brought confusion. He's changing that and calling us to a different level. And it's going to bring the favor of God on the true prophet in this land in a whole new way. Because England was called to influence the world, and called to carry the word of the Lord to other nations and speak the word of the Lord. But it's become a big mishmash. And as a result, the real prophet has lost their voice. And because they've not understood favor and how to work with the church or the place where God has set them, it's also brought and it's bringing the prophet in and what they carry into disrepute. But God is changing that. He's changing that now. And so that makes me very, very excited. And why is one of the reasons I want a seat at the table, because it gives me opportunity to say these things. That's fun. It's what I was made for. It's what I was made for. Whoa, I don't think I need to say all that. And I don't think I need to say that either. What time is it? Pardon? Okay. So I don't need then either to say that. There went 6 pages. Just like that. So stewarding favor. I got to come up with another word for stewarding. It's like, doesn't sound nice to me. It sounds really old-fashioned. So you guys, if you can think of another word, come and tell me after. But we've had, you know, I've been yammering away about what favor is, how we can get it, what we can do with it. And I just want to talk about the value of it a little bit more. It's a precious, precious, precious gift of God, and we need to treasure it. No matter where God has given favor, we need to treasure it. It's as important as some other things that we think are absolute necessity. If we don't value it, we'll waste it. We'll do nothing with it and we'll waste it. And that is tragic. Sometimes I've watched kids that have tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of presents. And they just all get broken and shoved in a box and they're not valued. And someone who has a little knows how to value what they've been given. And sometimes I think that we treat favor like that. We don't value it, and we want greater favor, but we haven't even valued the little favor that we have. So the first point of stewarding favor is learning to value what we do have. So if you have favor down at the greengrocer's and the guy will throw in extra cabbages for you or something, rejoice in that favor. Because God's given you favor with that greengrocer for a certain reason. He has something he wants you to give back. So if there's a grace or a favor extended to you in whatever area you're functioning in, use it, value it, don't waste it. Because actually a little favor can change a nation. Because everything has a knock-on effect. You know, it's like, this happens here, and then this happens here, and then because of that, this happens here. So value your favor. Be patient. Learn about the cost for favor. And ask yourself continually if you're willing to pay the price to gain favor. You have to be willing to pay the price to gain favor. It costs you misunderstanding. It'll cost you judgment. You'll have to make really hard decisions, which you wish you didn't have to make. It's a difficult thing, but favor is so valuable to what God has for your life that you will go with it. Whoa. And when you know that you've decided to value favor, when things get tricky, it will shorten your moaning time. Because we all have moaning times like, why on earth did I sign up for this? I didn't want to have to do that. But you've decided you're going after favor, which actually pulls you into sort of a leadership kind of role in some way or another. And you just have difficult things that you have to do. But to gain favor, you have to continually remember the bigger picture and continually remember how valuable it is. So the next thing you need to do is to guard your favor. Because you have to remember, when you have favor, you're actually representing King Jesus in everything you do. Everything you do. And you are called to represent him well. So that doesn't mean like you look like good little Christian girl all the time. You know, whatever that is. But it means that everything you do is not to be used for personal ambition. It means that you're representing King Jesus. It's about King Jesus. So when you come into a place and you're walking in favor and you're favored to release the word of the Lord like this, it means that if I have needs and wants, I put them at the door and they stay there because I'm here to represent King Jesus. So it becomes about him completely, not about ourselves. So we guard that favor by not allowing our own wants and our own wishes and our own ambitions to touch it. Because favor is extended for the kingdom, not for your own personal self. And we are responsible for all that the Lord entrusts us with. So I'm responsible to come here today and to give to you what I sense that he has asked me to give. I'm instructed by God to release my favor, to walk in my favor, and to release to you the favor of God and the acceptable year of the Lord as far as the prophetic and the apostolic coming into this place and shifting things. I am responsible for that. And so that sometimes means that I have to go away in a room when everyone else is having a nice chat and talk and whatever, and I just have to go and be by myself so that I can hear clearly and quieten myself, and so that I have the energy and the understanding and the ability to communicate well what I'm supposed to give to you. So that's part of guarding my favor, and that's something you learn. The more you value favor, the more you'll realize how you have to guard it. It is that important. Because if I came here and I didn't have the favor of God resting on me, it would not work. I would just be yammering away, another person that's yammering away. But God is actually, as I speak, changing things in the spirit and building new structures and setting new parameters for how you're going to look and what you're going to build within the future. You may not understand that, but I can tell you that is what is happening. That is how it works. And from this day forward, there's going to be a different foundation or a different structure or a different way the things in as far as prophecy and the prophetic are going to work in this church. And some of you are going to find that you can prophesy much more easily. And some of you are going to find that, oh, you're pulled in a different way. And maybe God is actually developing you as a prophet. Maybe. So you need to guard your favor. And that's basically all that I want to say to you today. Because I think Holy Spirit will now take that and He'll breathe on that. But I want to do some declarations. So if you want to stand up, are you used to declarations? You should be. And I'm just going to release declarations of favor over all of you. So, because God wants this church to walk in favor. He wants you to walk in the favor of God, and He wants you to walk in favor of man, both of them. For you to be effective in the community, you need to have the favor of man. And all of you, every single person, even in your local relationships, you need to cultivate that favor, because actually you are representing the King in this community, and this church is going to affect this whole area. So you may look at yourself and say, we're just a small motley crew, and, you know, what could we possibly do? Well, what about the apostles? They did a lot, really, and they're still doing a lot. What they did, because they had favor with Jesus, has changed life for all of us and continues to change life. So when you come to church and you hear me talking like this, you need to say, wow, I'm a part of that. I'm a part of the favor of God being extended to the community around me. God is going to use you guys in a powerful, powerful way, actually in ways that you have not imagined yet. You have not imagined yet, but you are a hub. You are a hub, and you need to start thinking like that. You need to start thinking about how important you are in what God's doing in this area. And so there's a shift that needs to take place in you from we're just a bunch of believers who are gathering together because we have common ideals and common ways that we love to relate to God. You're actually strategic. Ho! You're strategic to Essex. Think of that. God has a strategy that's bigger than what the television tells us. Much, much bigger. So I'm going to declare some things, and I want you just to put yourself into whatever position you need to do in order to grab a hold of that declaration. And if you don't want to declare, then quickly sit down. So let's just start. Holy Spirit, come. I just want to declare over everyone in this church that the favor of God from this moment on is going to saturate each one of you in a new way. And that the knowledge that Jesus Christ goes before you and comes behind you and is around you. He rests on you. He's in you. He's below you. He's above you. And He's going to move through you with His favor in a new way from this day forth. That's how the favor of God is going to be over your life. And I declare that from today, you begin to walk in a new kind of favor. A favor walk with God. Favor with God and favor with man. I declare that the favor of God on your lives will allow blessing to be poured out on everyone you come in contact with today. Everyone, everyone, everyone. And that doesn't mean you have to go around saying, I'm a Christian and blah, blah, blah. Just the favor of God being released through your smiles, through your actions, from this day forward, it shifts. And I declare that the favor of God on your lives is going to grow, and that it's going to open doors for you that up to this point have been shut. All those doors that you've been knocking on and wondering about, I declare that as the favor of God grows in your life, that those doors are going to begin to open for you.
And he's going to turn the key and he's going to release breakthrough for you in your lives in areas that you've struggled with and not been able to push through. I declare that the favor of God coming on you is going to come and release those things. And I declare that all of you are going to begin to rejoice that you are a favored child of God. In the same way I rejoice because I know my dad's favor is on me. So you're going to rejoice because you're going to become really aware that you are favored of God in this area. And it's something to be valued. And I just declare that you guys are going to begin to value that favor. And you're going to realize that it's a weapon in your hands. It's protection to you. But it's also like a sword in your hand. And you're able to cut through situations and go into places that were inaccessible. And because you are a member of the royal family. You are a member of the royal family. Royal favor rests on you. Royal favor rests on you. You are not broken and defeated and cursed. You are a member of the royal family, and the favor of royalty is resting on you. You're going to understand that in a new way. And because of God's favor, you're going to walk in victory. And walking in victory, it comes not because everything in your life lines up. It comes as you turn, you're able to turn your face towards the King, no matter what situation you're in. That just, the ability to turn your face guarantees that you're walking and you're standing before God and man in a place of victory. So I declare that's how it's going to be for each of you as you choose to walk and stand in the favor of God. And I declare that you're going to be able to choose not to partner with negativity. You're not going to partner for negativity, and you're going to continually reach out and access all that the kingdom has for each one of you. Oh! I guarantee that with God's favor on your life, you're going to come into awareness that He will fight for you. He will fight for you. He'll be your rear guard, and you're going to come into a season of rest where you understand that the King is fighting for you. He's going, and He will not leave you. He will not abandon you. He will not leave you alone. He'll keep going after you, keep going after you, keep going after you. And He will hide you in Himself in times of trouble. That is His word to you. And I declare that over you in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I just want to thank You for this time that we've spent. Father, I pray that You would take my words and where they've been really good, that You would use them to adjust, to tighten, to loose, to put things in place, Father, where things need to come and change. Father, that You will build in this place in a new way from today forward, that the apostolic and the prophetic will lay such an amazing foundation in this place that when the building begins to grow up, that it will not crumble. It will not be broken, and it won't be lopsided. And Father, where there are questions, I thank You that You will answer them all in Your time, and You'll bring understanding. Lord, I ask that You bring people to help. Ho! That You bring people into this place and to add them to this group who will understand. I ask that You bring the young people, the old people, the middle-aged people, Father, because You do things as family. Ha! And it's not all for the youth. It's not all for the middle-aged. And it's not for the old only. It's for all of us together. All of us together. All of us together. And I just want to speak to the women, as I do, and just say to you that you are equal. You are equal, and I call you to stand in your place. I call you from sitting back and standing back and waiting for a man to give you permission to do anything. I call you into your place. I call you into your place. You are in the kingdom, and in the kingdom, we are equal. There is no male or female. That we are one in God, and we are one in Him, and we all have something to give. I just want to say that probably the people who stand against me more than anything are women, because I issue that challenge. Ha ha. And you know what? If you don't step into the place God has for you, no matter what that is, you're going to miss out on the joy that was meant to be released in your life when you do the things that you were created for. So I just want to break off of you intimidation. Ho! In Jesus' name, I break off intimidation. I break off intimidation, and I declare over you that you have a voice, and it's strong, it's powerful, you can see well, you can hear well, you can understand well. And yes, you can nurture well, but don't let them keep you from being a strong leader, because you are called to lead as well. You are called to lead. And some of you are called to lead the nation and to lead in communities and to take strong leadership roles. You do it in the natural realm, and it's time for you to do it in the spiritual world. So I just call you to that place. You have a good example here as part of your leadership in a woman who is strong and stepped into what she is called to do. So I call you in this place to embrace everything that you were meant to be. You were born for such a time as this. Now is your time. And that doesn't come at the expense of man or men. You stand beside them and we all go forward together. That is how it works. We all go forward together. And if you're single, I just declare that you will not be intimidated by churchy couple culture. Because that can be really intimidating. Some women will not even go to things and go to dinners because it's like, oh, everyone's going to be a couple. And what about me? You know what? You need to get over that. Because God wants you to have a place at the table. And he wants you to be able to fellowship with the entire family. So if you're holding back because you're single and alone, you get over it. Get over it, because you're missing out, actually. You're missing out. Go and take your place. Go and take your place. That's it. Thank you, Lord.
I want to pray for Rebecca. Just be really good. Father, we want to just say we receive everything that you brought through Rebecca this morning. And just, you just release your blessing afresh, your protection over Lord God, your increase, Lord God, your favor, your strength, your health, your life. We say yes, Lord God. And just the oil of gladness, Lord God. Fresh oil, Lord God. Fresh oil of gladness. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you. Amen. Amen. I'd encourage you to look at your notes again, to listen to it when it gets online, because if you've been wanting a specific prophetic word, I believe in the macro, you're going to find your own personal word as well, but I believe that everything you've delivered in the macro, within that, is going to be people's own personal word as well, wrapped up in that as well, if that makes sense.